You got into real estate in a big way.
I did get in for Stillwater anyway, I did. The town was small. The town probably wasn't, but about 4 miles. Yeah, that's a stretch. It may be more like 3.5 miles, you know, in circumference. When it started growing in that, like, I knew some of these old muddy streets are on the outskirts of Stillwater, would someday be worth something. So I bought property, major intersection. I bought up about 35 acres of this town while I was growing, and all the main highways and corners and that like. So, and I built 8 different buildings, commercial buildings. And I rented to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and I rented to the university, and I voted to a junior college that came here. I think I said the Department of Correction.
You saw the value in buying land and real estate. Not everybody would see that, but you saw that vision, had that vision.
Well, I had that vision, I did. And another nice thing about it was, I remember I had to borrow a lot of money. I did all this on borrowed money. And we didn't have but 2 banks then. The Stillwater National Bank, that's the name of it. The other's the First National Bank. Of course, my parents knew the people that owned those banks when I was growing up. I had started a little savings account when I was 6 years old. I could borrow money from them. And I could go, in those days, that's, you know, you go to the bank and you don't see the president of the bank. He's either up on an upper floor or he's not down in the mezzanine where they used to walk around, you know, greet hands. They were greeters of the people that came in the banks, shook their hands and thanked them for coming in and that like. And I can remember I could go in and if I needed to borrow some money, and I'd go in and went up and come over and say, well, what do you need today? What are you doing? I said, well, I got to tell you what, I'm about to run out of money, and I've got to have some money to move forward. And they'd say, well, what do you need? I'd say, well, I need, you know, $300,000. Today, that $300,000 would be a whole lot more than that, you know,
yep.
Just because of inflation.
Yep.
And they'd say, well, how soon do you need it? I said, well, I think in the next 15 minutes would be maximum time I've got. And then walk over there and pull out a deal. I would check the thing there on the counter and flip the pen out of their pocket and they'd sign it and say, well, okay. And I'd say, you know, how come you never asked me for collateral? They said, we were interested in people who pay their bills on time. We don't want your collateral since we usually lose money on those.
Oh, that's a great story. Your reputation.
It is a great story, and I've got to tell you, it's a true story. Let's go back to when I was in the milking business and that like. I had several of the prominent people in town were usually my milk customers that came out to the barn that they got these gallon jugs that I took the other to town to the creamery like. I had my own bank account. I wrote my own checks. I went to the sales where they sold cattle and I bid against men in those days. And I can remember they said, I can hear them say sometimes, I say, Harley was my dad's name. They say, you know, Harley's just too hard on that son. But I've got to tell you what, it was very good training for me. And when I first started, I used to go out to these little towns, you know, at least one day out of every week. And I'd start at the end of the street and I'd go to every single store and go in and shake hands with not just the owner, but the people that were working in there that I like. Every one of those stores, I'd go to a different one as far as 10, 15 miles away. And I used to go out to farms that I could talk about farms and that like, because going back before I got into the dairy business, when I was 6 years old, we were still trading for things, you know, like livestock and the like. And Dad traded for this mother pig, the sow pig, and most of them were they feral that's having the babies. But 8 to 10 pigs at the most. I'm going to give you that sow pig. That's going to be your start. So I had to take. I had of that 18. I took 8 of them in the basement of our house. Why? Fixed a little brooder down there with a big round wash pan that I drilled a hole in. I didn't drill it. Someone drilled it for me. I did. Six, I did do that. And we put a light bulb in there. We put up a little pen down there, and I fed those I fed those little pigs with a milk and a nipple, a bottle and a nipple, till they got big enough to they could drink milk out of a trough. We sold those. And when we got rid of those, why, Dad got three more sows that came in, and they have about eight or nine. So I had three sows and all those little piglets. By the time I was 12, so I'd been in the 4-H business and that, like clubs. I learned how to castrate hogs and that, like, when I was little, and I had the my responsibility. I had a little red wagon, and I'd get these 5 gallons, is all I could reach. Terry, I could barely get them up in the wheelbarrow, not the wheelbarrow, but a little four-wheel wagon. And it was about a block from the house down to the hog shed. And I'd go down there and feed those hogs. We had a garden that's about an acre and a half. In those days, nothing was by power. You pushed a little hand plow in the hole. That's what you did.
Did you always have electricity and plumbing?
We always had that where we lived, yeah. The source of water in those days were cisterns, and the water ran off the roof down through charcoal, down a pipe into a little charcoal thing that filtered the water, and it ran into a cistern. And then you had wells and windmills and things where you got your water. But we did have the electricity, yeah. And we also had natural gas. Where we were at that right at the edge of town.